Lives of Pitch, the podcast where we pitch the best films that'll never get made. I'm Matt Turner.
And I'm Tom McGrath. And the game goes like this. We ask you, our devoted listeners, to come up with titles that you'd like to hear us pitch.
We then collaborate, coming up with story points, casting, and even marketing strategies.
Without further ado, this week's title is... Arrangers.
Arrangers?
Yes, Arrangers.
Is that... Oh, that's why you said it was topical.
Yeah.
Because we're recording this like the day after Avengers comes out.
Yeah, yeah, Avengers. Arrangers, man.
Arrangers comes Arrangers. Out. Power yeah. Rangers.
Yes, that one given to us by Ofo on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show if you want to give us a follow on there. Give us some title suggestions. Just check us out on Twitter. You can also check us out on Facebook as well at facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast.
Go and do that. But this was, of course, for our rom-com?
Yes, rom-com.
Arrangers.
Arrangers, yes.
That sounds like fun. I think we're going to have a good time with this one.
All right, yeah, rom-coms.
Rom-coms, what do we know about those?
Rom-coms.
You've seen one?
Yeah.
I haven't.
Haven't you?
Yeah. Is Forrest Gump one?
Anytime we do a genre episode, a proper genre episode,
yeah.
You could say, is Forrest Gump one? The answer is probably yeah.
That's probably true, yeah. Yeah. No guests this time.
No guests this week. It's just us.
Just
two.
Us again. Why? Lazy.
Yeah. That and the song Just the Two of Us.
Yeah.
On our rom-com
that came
episode.
On. Yeah, so we thought we'd make it a nice romantic evening in.
So shall we hear some honorable commentions?
Honorable commentions. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So from Stephen Thomas, we've got Love is in the Air and Is Contagious.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Don't like that. Don't like that at all. What if they have kissing?
I think we could do... What's the company that makes the cards, you know, the Valentine's Day? Is it Hallmark?
Yeah.
Yeah. We could do Hallmark Labs.
Right.
And they've got the recipe for love.
I think we go lower stakes.
No?
I think we have them being like, we're making some perfume for the inside of card that's going to squirt out.
Yeah?
Yeah, when they open a card,
yeah.
There you go, perfume. Just turns out there's a bit of a renegade perfume developer. And he's like, I've been working on this.
Who works for who is the competitor to Hallmark?
Moonpig.com.
Yes. There's a person from Moonpig.com who's in the lab working on this perfume, who then puts like a contagion, like he did, like it starts, right, I'm gonna cut back to there's a raid on a chemical
this
weapons
is like a,
lab.
This is like a pre title sequence.
Yeah, like a raid on a chemical weapons lab.
Right.
Similar to that of the opening of Captain America Civil War.
Right. Remembering this is a rom-com film.
Yeah, yeah, but without the superhero bit. So the guys just break in, steal this infectious disease.
Yeah.
There's a giant on the thing, on the vans that they use to break in, there's a giant pig logo on it.
Right.
A load of craters on it.
Yeah.
Like the moon. And yeah, then we cut to who am I thinking for this role? The scientist from moonpig.com.
Brian Cox.
Brian Cox. Scientist or actor?
What?
The scientist one or the actory one?
Both.
Both at the same time.
Well, I only know the scientist one, and he's playing a scientist, so I assume it's a cameo.
Okay, yeah, right. Brian Cox is going to be the main part in this
film. Okay, all right, fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, because he's working for Moonpig.com, and he puts this infectious disease in the perfume spray of these cards.
Bloody, I hate Hallmark. They're so expensive, and I want them to fail. So I'm going to put this this infectious disease into these cards. And then everyone will think, oh, Hallmark's cards are rubbish. They got all this this disgusting infection in it.
What are you saying, Brian Cox's character? Mary Elizabeth Winstead, the romantic interest, comes in.
Hello, Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Oh, I'm too awkward. I'm an awkward character. I'm too awkward to talk to you. I've dropped.
And then he knocks the stuff into the perfume.
Yep.
And then from then on, it's too awkward to say anything.
Yeah.
About, like, you know how, like, the awkward thing is, like, when you lie about something happening, you're like, oh god, I've got to push this to the side. That happens in rom-com films quite a bit.
Yeah.
It's the thing is, it's with, like, an infectious disease akin to Ebola.
Yeah.
Just has been put into this perfume that's going out to cards all over the world.
Right.
So they're spreading this zombie-like disease.
So, but everyone's falling in love, or is it just deadly?
Yeah, no, zombies, you know how they go after brains?
Yeah.
They go around going, love.
And they hug you.
They hug you.
And then you...
Hug you to death. Like...
Well, I assume you just get the disease and become another one of the mindless love zombies.
Well, yeah, because you die, and then you come up and you're like, love, I want love.
And people start... People start, like, painting red hearts on their bellies.
Yeah.
And
covering themselves in fur.
In fur, yeah. And shooting beams.
Giant.
Rainbow beams.
Giant Care Bears, basically. At the end of the film, they're in a mall.
Yeah.
Like in Dawn of the Dead.
So, anyway, Hallmark...
It is just that.
Hallmark headquarters, Brian Cox is now...
So we've got the plot of Dawn of the Dead, but all the zombies are Care Bears.
It's just happening intercut with...
In one side of this film, and then the other side is a really just awkward lab romance with Brian Cox and Mary Elizabeth.
That's pretty much it, What happens in it, though? Surely there's got to be some kind of stimulus to move the scenes along.
No, it's just, right, cut and paste rom-com into this lab...
There's an office party coming up.
Yeah. There's an office party coming up. She's looking like she's after someone else, and he's like, "Oh no, what can I do?
What are we gonna do?" And then,
Seth Rogen, his buddy's like nudging him on the arm, just like, "Make your move, man.
Don't pay him.
Tell him how you feel. Tell him how you feel after you come smoke some weed." And there's some really awkward weed smoking moments.
Oh god, sounds good.
Where he's high.
This sounds like a good film.
And he talks
Tom.
To Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and then she's like, "I hate you now because
because you said something that was high based."
And then,
which I mean, that's realistic. That's the thing.
And then
that part, right? It's been fairly surreal film immediately, but he gets high. He gets all stoned.
Mm.
He goes over to her and then says
says
a Seth Rogen joke and then she immediately hates him. That's believable.
Yeah, no, he says a Seth Rogen joke and then just vomits on her.
Yeah.
And then Dwayne The Rock Johnson is just like, "What are you doing with my girlfriend? What the fuck?"
His name is Granville Keaters.
Granville Keaters, okay. Yeah. And so
I haven't named Brian Cox or Mary Elizabeth Winstead, but Dwayne The Rock Johnson gets a name.
It comes to the office Christmas party where Brian Cox gets up and does a karaoke number. Maybe
Girls Just Wanna Have Fun.
Girls Just Wanna Have Fun remixed with It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones.
Yeah, so he's just like, girls just wanna have fun. Oh, girls just wanna have fun. It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so he just wins over the affections of Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and they go up to the roof and see just the world on fire. Cut to black.
Like, because for the office party.
Yeah.
Because it's Moonpig and they've just finished their last.
Oh, it's Hallmark.
Oh, sorry, because it's Hallmark. He's undercover.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Brian Cox is undercover. Never comes back. Into...
Never comes up.
No.
Because it's the Hallmark post Valentine's Day. They've just sent the last of their stock out.
Mm.
Everything's empty, so there's nothing for them to do until the next stock comes through. So they shutter the entire building off.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, well, here's what we do at the... I want to say J.K. Simmons is the boss at Hallmark. And he's like, you know what we like to do when when we've just done Valentine's Day? Is we like to pull down the shutters, the bulletproof shutters on the building, and make sure that nothing from the outside can be seen.
All hail the commune!
For 1 week only, you are now inside this building and cannot leave to see your families.
And they just don't tell them about what's happening outside.
Yeah.
Where the whole world... Like, again, we've got this whole thing with Simon Pegg and stuff. Like, basically Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
But with Care Bears.
Yeah.
And we've got this romantic story that keep cutting back and forth.
Yeah.
Cut and paste zombie story starring Simon Pegg.
When are we seeing that?
It just cuts, like, intermittently. Like,
okay.
Not at any point.
Just to people screaming.
Maybe mid-conversation in
sentence. Okay. So we're just two films.
Yeah, just two films cut
completely
very erratically.
Unrelated, but all from the same.
I mean, they are related, because Brian Cox started the band.
Well, yeah, barely. Barely related.
Yeah.
All right.
Love is in the air and is infectious.
In fact,
it's contagious,
like,
even.
She, in fact, that'd be, I think, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who is called Skills Bunsen. she's a scientist. And Mary Elizabeth Winstead is constantly, like, getting readouts. Like, from, like, beeps from, like, the Center for Disease Control and stuff. She's like, it's a strange thing. It says here that there's some kind of outbreak.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about
Brian Cox.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
He said, sliding along the floor in his own grease.
Don't worry about it. Let's go up to the roof and look at the stars.
And see what the rainbow beams of the giant Care Bears.
In the distance, you see a giant Care Bear made of people, of towering over a city, shooting a giant laser
beam. Their flesh melded into each other and just started sprouting fur.
Love me.
So, she's getting these messages, and then she sort of, she's like, Brian, are you sure you didn't, like, put something into that last batch? And he's like, no, it's probably fine.
He's got to keep up this line.
No, Skills, it's probably fine. I'm sure that's just a mistake. He's just trying to keep this line, and then the shutters all come up and you see that love me, and she just pushes him out the window.
End of film.
Yeah.
There we go.
Skills Bunsen gets retribution on Brian Cox and goes back to live with Granville Keaters.
Well, I mean,
who wouldn't?
You cut, like, what is living after that?
Well, I mean, being Dwayne The Rock Johnson's other half, I think, is what living is after that.
From Connor Lavelle, we've got Crispy Love.
Crispy Love? Oh my goodness. Right. I think this might be about two rival barbecue kitchens.
Yeah?
So,
go on. I
think we've got... Fuck it, let's go with it. Danny DeVito,
yeah.
As Popper's gumptious gumbo.
Is that his name?
Popper's No. That's his barbecue chain.
Okay.
Actually, it's a barbecue restaurant.
Okay.
It's called Popper's...
P-A-P-A.
Popper's gumptious gumbo.
Okay, because I thought you meant P-O-P-P-E-R.
Popper's.
Popper's.
Yeah, okay, Popper's... gumptious gumbo.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's really a swell dude, it seems like. The community likes him. Let's say that. We get an establishing scene where he's like, oh, welcome into the store. Come on, get yourselves down. I got a rack of ribs. And he throws it across the counter, like slides it across the counter.
Mm.
I got some chicken or whatever. Here's a bowl of gumbo. My papa's special gumbo. And then I want to say, Maggie Smith is a she's in charge of a chain restaurant. It's got all the money in it. Like she's got a sizable investment into this chain. Some, I'm not sure where it's come from, but her husband, called Giovanni Shucks, is played by, and you have to help me on this one,
Chris Pratt.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Fine. So, like, but the restaurant is called Crispy Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's called Crispy Love because...
Crispy
Love. Yeah.
Yeah. All he serves is rat.
Crispy rat. And so... But her husband is... big. The whole thing, the whole branding of it this couple being so in love that they make... That love is like love makes the best barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
Or love makes the best crispy barbecue or whatever. And suddenly... Danny DeVito's customers are going out the window, right? He's like, ah, shit. What am I going to do about this?
Maybe put some clothes on.
You've been naked all this time.
Yeah, he's just wearing an apron.
Right, fair enough. And he goes out, and basically he goes over to see what this new restaurant's all about. Mm. And it's Maggie Smith doing most of the work.
Yeah.
And she's like selling, you know, barbecue food. And he goes across the road, and it's a really busy road, so he's like nearly gets hit by cars all the way around. Mm. And they're all beeping because he's got no clothes on. And
he's just trotting over the dual carriageway, highway.
He gets to
can we just visualize this apron that he's got on, right?
Sure.
He's naked, right?
Yeah.
And this apron is just a picture of his frontal nudity. So it just matches up, but it's an apron.
I think, all right, if you want.
Yeah, I want that.
Right, that's what you want. You can have it if you. That's what you want, Tom. We'll make a special provision for you.
Okay.
So
I love it.
So he gets across the road and he gets into and he sees Maggie Smith. He's like, "Hobbada, hobba! What a piece of spicy barbecue!" He says to her,
and she's good looking as well.
Yeah, and he's like, "Oh, you and me. Oh, we should get together and make the best barbecue place this side of Georgia.
If you know what I mean."
Yeah, and she's like, "I think you'll find Mr. I didn't catch your name.
What was his name?
It's Papa.
You can call me Papa.
Mr. Papa. I have a husband. Giovanni is out the back. He's getting some more...
Husband don't matter. I love you.
He's getting some more... He'll be back in a moment. He's getting some more knives and frozen meat.
Why can't we smooch right now?
He's busy mixing the enormous vat of barbecue sauce, indistinguishable from blood. And so he's like, all right, I guess I'll go. And then he like goes around the back and then pushes Chris Pratt into the barbecue sauce. He sees him there.
Speech. Chris Pratt doesn't see him coming. Chris up behind him naked and pushes him into the vat of blood sauce.
Chris Pratt doesn't have a line.
He's there.
He goes, whoa.
And even then, that is added in subtitles. He didn't make the noise.
Yeah, no. We could get him to be pushed into a... Because that's his kink, we could get Chris Pratt to be pushed into a big vat of barbecue sauce, but we couldn't get him to do any lines because that would be too expensive.
Yeah, no, it'd be way too expensive for a film like this.
The only reason he agreed was because that he really likes that. He loves that crispy rat.
Yeah.
So... basically, Dan DeVito goes back into the restaurant and goes, I don't see your husband anywhere.
Your husband's dead. I pushed him into a vat of barbecue sauce.
Does he say that, does he?
Yeah.
All right.
Will you kiss me now?
And I think she's like, well, my restaurant doesn't really work without two people. Because it's about love.
I got a barbecue joint as well. And I love you. I can cook the best barbecue in the world. Give me a chance. And he gets on one knee.
Yeah. And they get married.
Yeah.
And they get married.
To marriage.
Yeah, and they get married and they start off a really successful barbecue business. Mm. But then the problem is what happens will surprise you.
Will it?
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely what happens next will shock and awe you and you it will win an Oscar.
Yeah.
Because the next time they a couple of years later, they now have an empire. Like they've built a bridge over across this road, this busy road, and it's got their faces on it, and it goes from one restaurant to the other. And someone, a very hungry man, comes into this.
Very hungry caterpillar.
No, a very hungry man, played by Dylan Moran, comedian Dylan Moran. Mm. He comes in, he's like, I'm a really hungry man. And they say, well, we got a lot of barbecue. That's lucky. He says, I got a lot of barbecue. That's real lucky. And he's like, I want to buy 3 tons of barbecue. And so he pushes out this enormous, and he's like, oh no, we're out of barbecue sauce. I'll have to use the stuff that I put on side after pushing Chris Pratt
That's
into
exactly
it.
That's exactly where I was going with it, but it was like, oh no, we've only got 3.99 tons of it.
I'll have to use a drop of...
It's because it's just like, it's all of Chris Pratt's body, so he's like, I could just chop him up. He's kept him in the freezer.
Yeah.
Dangling up from it. It's like, it's part...
2 years later.
Yeah, 2 years later. He's still, Chris Pratt is still in the freezer.
Right.
He managed to sneak him out of... he managed to sneak his barbecue sauced up body into his freezer and hang him up on a meat hook.
I just assumed he got dissolved by the sauce.
Nah.
No?
Nah. He's very, very well marinated.
Okay. Fair enough.
So,
like a kind of mummy, like a barbecue mummy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've got
like a barbecue Imhotep.
Yeah, that kind of.
Cool.
So, yeah, and so Dylan Moran.
You know what? It's Dylan. No, it's not Dylan Moran. It's Brendan Fraser now.
It's Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Okay. So Brendan Fraser, I think he's doing it for his wedding.
Yeah.
He wants. He loves the meat. Brendan Fraser.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he wants it for his wedding.
He's getting married for his big meaty bod. He needs it.
He's getting married to Liz Hurley.
He's getting married to Liz Hurley, the devil, and he's like, your spicy barbecue is the perfect combination of me and my wife. It's meaty like my body and spicy like her fiery demeanor as Satan, the devil.
That's who Liz Hurley is playing.
Yes.
Yeah, the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm thinking like, Di DeVito is like, oh, oh God, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I could chop his body up. Serve it as meat. No one
serve
will
it is with his blood barbecue sauce.
So, I think the catering they have to do him and Maggie
the catering for his wedding. This is where this is all. It's only down the road. It's only like the next field over. They're having a nice an outdoor wedding in a marquee
country wedding.
Yeah, a nice marquee out on the field, and everyone's there. Everyone who is anyone is there.
Mm.
All the barbecue lovers of the town. Of barbecue.
The town of Barbecue, Georgia.
Yeah, Barbecue, Georgia.
Yeah.
And so he's like they're serving, they've got these big troughs of it, and Maggie Smith is still complicit in this whole thing.
So I'm thinking this is where the sort of liar reveal thing comes out.
Yeah. This is
where
they
end up serving Chris Pratt's bloodied barbecue head.
Well, this is the problem, though.
To Brendan Fraser.
No, I think that like Danny DeVito is holding out a plate of like chopped up Brendan Fraser meat to chopped up Chris Pratt meat, right? Yeah. To Brendan Fraser, and Brendan Fraser's like, "Oh, forget that. I love the whole thing." And he just wheels out to the front of the front table, the long table at the wedding. He wheels out the whole vat of barbecue, and he just like reaches into it with his arms and up to his elbows in barbecue sauce, and just picks up this huge chunk of meat, and he's like starts stuffing it in his face.
It's Chris Pratt's head.
Well, hang on, because it's a pile on the front table, and him and Liz Hurley are just munching down on it, right?
Yeah.
And then you hear, "Ow!" "That was my foot," says Giovanni.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah, as the whole pile of barbecue like swirls underneath on this front table, and a naked and chopped up Chris Pratt stands up.
Says.
And he's fully crisped up. He's like crispy.
Yeah, he's crispy.
Rat.
Crispy,
yeah.
Rat.
Yeah.
And he points at Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
Danny DeVito then gets a knife and stabs himself in the heart and dies.
And his blood gushes into the barbecue trough.
Yeah. Cut to credits.
Yeah.
Needs no more explanation.
Nothing else, yeah. Liz Hurley, the last shot is Liz Hurley smiling with barbecue sauce all over her face.
Looking at the camera for 15 minutes while the credits roll.
There you go.
Crispy Love.
It's Crispy Love. It's a good rom-com.
/ body horror.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I do best. Yeah. If you ever ask me to do a rom-com / body horror, I will nail it.
Okay, so that was all our rom-able commentions.
These get worse.
Yeah, they do.
These only get worse.
Honourable mentions. Thank you, everyone, who's given us titles this week. Remember to find us on Facebook at facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast, and Twitter at Life's a Pitch Show as well.
If you've made it this far into the episode, then you must like it enough to want it to continue. So, if you want to help us continue the show and help us make it better, then you can go over to patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast to help us out in a small monetary way. You can get yourself a little kickback with some bonus content from us, meaning you can help vote for the genre each week, or you can get a bonus pitch every week, or get behind the scenes stuff from us. All sorts of stuff out there.
Movie commentaries.
Yes, we did a movie commentary for Chicken Run after, and then the next day found out that
there's a sequel coming out.
There's Chicken Run 2 coming
Chicken
out.
Run 2.
And I think I've got a quote here from Jenny, not that one, Garner. She sent through a statement. Yes.
Just yes.
Yeah.
So people who've already contributed to our Patreon page are Ross_Originals, Brandon Spanky Mills, Brent Black, Mihir Trivedi, Stephen Douglas Thomas, My Wasted Talent, Joe Hegarty, Spicy Boy, and Alex Keane.
Thank you, all of you, for helping make this podcast better every single week.
Yes, if you want to get your name read out in that list, go to our Patreon page again.
Go and do that, please. Thanks. Makes our job a lot easier.
So before we go over to our main title this week, I've got a little award to give away.
An award?
An award.
And a who?
A yes, very clever award.
Oh. Well, maybe now that I know what kind of award it is, I should probably play this thing, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, very clever.
Okay, so that's the Yes, Very Clever award. Mm-hmm. This is the award we give out to people who give us puns on existing film titles in the genre. And this one, this week, has been from Ed Crawley, and that is Love Literally.
Love... Oh, actually, I see.
Love actually.
Love basically.
Yeah, love generally.
Love probably. I would love it if these were the... I would
sequels.
Actually love it if these were all sequels to the first one.
Okay, so that was the Yes, Very Clever award. So now we're moving on to our final pitch, and that is from Ofo on Twitter, and that is Arrangers.
Arrangers.
Yep.
Arrangers. I can only now see this because I said Power Rangers and also Avengers as superheroes whose entire job it is to get people together. And of course, Will Smith is the main one.
Mm.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because he was in both Hitch and the other one.
Hancock. Both begin with H.
Yep. And his character in both bleeds into one.
Mm.
So it's Hitchcock. Yeah.
Well done.
It's Hitchcock.
Hitchcock. I went with and, both begin with H.
So it's Will Smith going like, "Hey guys, I only care about the birds."
No, he has to be doing an impression of Alfred Hitchcock. Oh, she's
like, I can only do the brain. So, hello everybody, it's me, Alfred Hitchcock.
Do that, but deeper.
Hello everybody, it's me, it's me, Will Smith.
I'll show you a video of Alfred Hitchcock after this, and you will, uncanny.
Welcome to my secret initiative.
You know what it is, right?
What?
It's superheroes who are out of work who help wedding plan.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't say wedding plan. I would say, like, get people who they consider to be, like, deserving of each other. They try and get perfect matches together.
I think help arrange a wedding would be a good...
So they're low-power superheroes. So this is a Marvel-verse where everything is like, everyone's like flying around saving the world, and then these guys are like, I'm really good at making sure that stickers are equidistant between two parts of the page.
Yeah, basically. So there's like a load of superheroes.
Right.
It's like a Marvel Cinematic Universe
yeah.
scenario, but these superheroes are like the sort of low, not street level.
Low tier,
but still kind of magic.
Okay.
Kind of deal.
What, like? Well, deer like, control.
Yes. Deer control. And they've all sort of banded together. I think this is their origin story as to how they came about to be. Oh, no. I think, there has already been a whole thing of like.
I think they got kicked out of the Justice League, basically.
Kind of that kind of
They got kicked out because they were too low-powered, and basically the Justice League couldn't afford to keep on their benefit. Like, they're sort of, like, keep shuttling them around to meetings when they don't actually do anything.
Yeah, exactly. They can't afford the cost of living.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've had to work out their own things. And like, we've always been pretty good at planning. Wedding planning. So Will Smith has got this.
Will Smith the guy with deer control? What's he got? What's his power?
I think Will Smith's got the power of people magnetism.
What if he's a human lie detector?
So he
can always tell whether the vows are honest or not,
or whether someone actually likes an idea or not.
Yeah,
like he's part marriage counselor as well. Marriage planner,
wedding planner, yeah.
So yeah, he's the main one, and he's the lie detector. There's a guy who controls deer,
played by why was I about to say Rowdy Roddy Piper,
Go
the wrestler?
It. Yes,
don't know how he speaks.
He's sat there because there's like the whole sort of what's it called? Is it Justice League table? What is it called?
The Table of Justice.
The Table of Justice.
Probably. Let's go.
The Hall of Justice.
Right.
That's what it's called, isn't it?
Probably.
I don't know.
This is already the best film in the Justice League. The Justice League Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, but there's like a round table. It looks like Doctor Strangelove with the lights all the way around this round table.
Yep.
As like this league of wedding planners is meeting to discuss this wedding that they're planning.
Yeah.
So we've got to name these superheroes as Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Who is the lie detector.
Yes.
Hitchcock named after Will Smith's roles in Hitch.
Hitch and Hancock. Yep.
That's the explanation we're going to give in the script.
right?
He looks like Hitchcock as well. We've got to make him up to make him look like Alfred Hitchcock.
Okay, right.
He sounds like, I've called you today.
Yeah.
To help me plan a new wedding.
Yeah, I think he's been doing this solo but it's a royal wedding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, no. He's got to call his best men together. So there's, so far, we've got Hitchcock in the deer controller. Right.
Yeah, we have.
We've also got a street magician.
And
called David Blaze.
David Blaze.
Yeah.
And
Hand Wash.
Hand Wash.
Played by Rebel Wilson.
Right. What does she do?
She washes things with her hands. Like she touches them and they go clean.
Okay. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's good. That's good, that's good. We've got lung capacity.
He can swim underwater.
He can swim underwater and also, but like his lungs just never run out of air. Okay. So he can blow at the normal human speed. A normal human, like, blowing. Maybe he's a bit more.
But
forever.
He's the first aid trained.
He's first aid trained, but also, right, give him a tuba. He'll play for hours.
Yeah.
Didgeridoo wedding? Gotcha.
Speaking of which, there is the music man as well.
Yeah?
He comes from far away.
Yeah? What can he play?
Everything. Not only the piano.
See, I like the idea that he's like, I play the banjo, and then he just like starts playing on the piano, and everyone's like, "That's not the banjo."
It is if I change the keyboard settings to banjo.
So it's just a pianist.
Yeah,
he's a music man who claims to play everything, but just has a Casio keyboard.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I mean, this is why he got kicked out of the Justice League. Yeah.
Because he's not a superhero.
No, he's just
he's not a super anything. He's just a competent piano player.
Semi-competent.
Right. He's a semi-competent piano player.
That's his
gotcha.
Arc in this film.
Right, he learns to play other instruments.
So who else is there? So we've got Hitchcock, the deer controller, David Blaze, Hand Wash.
God damn. I snort every time you say hand wash.
And the music man,
yeah, okay. Anyone else? I think Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
Is Mr. Speech.
Mr. Speech.
Yeah,
okay.
He can just make he can keep people's attention for as long as he wants.
Oh, that's a good. That's a good wedding planner superhero trait to have. And not much else.
No. Is there going to be a whole thing where Hitchcock's like, I think we should plan this royal wedding. And everyone's like, nah, I don't think so. I'm doing my own thing. Like, Music Man's like, I'm just playing in this wine bar. And...
But
are they all happy to come and join?
Right, I think the Will Smith has been getting on pretty well with his wedding planning company that he started.
Okay,
called the Arrangers.
Yeah,
it's just him. He's a superhero. He needs like he figures as though right. He's got like a load of just people who don't really do much.
Yeah,
like who aren't superpowered.
Right,
but. They all leave him because he drove a van into a wall.
What? Why?
By accident.
What's his superpower again?
He can tell whether people are lying or not.
Okay, yeah, I remember.
Yeah. So I think someone's telling such a ridiculous lie on the street corner that he was like, "What the shit?" And then crashed the van with all the people in it.
Okay.
And they were like,
"I've got whiplash."
They're all in hospital.
Yeah.
So he's like, and then the royals turn up. The royals, played by Hugh Grant, and
Sophie Ellis-Bextor, yeah,
and they say
the dance musician
Hitchcock,
from the 2000s.
We've heard about your famous wedding planning, thing. He's like, well, I used to be a superhero. That's not important right now. All we need is for you to plan the most extravagant royal wedding.
Yeah.
And so Hitchcock and Sophie Ellis-Bextor have a little moment
Oh no!
Yeah.
Oh no!
This is where.
And then she's like, "I'm really happy to be marrying, whatever you said it was, Hugh Grant." For some reason, I thought it was Hugh Laurie for a second. I'm really happy to be marrying Hugh Grant, and he's like, "Ding, ding, ding! That's a lie." She's not happy to be marrying.
He can tell, and yeah. he's like, "Oh my god!" But like,
he didn't say it. Yeah,
they were ex-lovers as well.
What? So be like Baxter?
Yeah, and
oh my goodness, and Hitchcock. Holy shit!
Yeah, and so like, yeah, she was sick of him. Always
knowing when she was lying.
Yeah, always calling her out and stuff.
Yeah,
and he's learned that lesson, and he's like, "Oh my god, why did she come to me?" Like he's sat in his bedroom.
Hugh Grant doesn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Hugh Grant's just heard of the best wedding planner in the country, and he's ready to go.
Yeah, he organised it.
Yeah,
and so Will Smith sat in his apartment bedroom, just thinking like, "Oh my god, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? This is gonna change the way I live. I'm going to get out of this apartment and live in a mansion again. And maybe I can join the Justice League or the whatever.
Yeah, maybe I can have one of those honorary superhero positions like Batman.
Yeah,
where I like just have enough money to buy my way into the Avengers. Mm. I mean, the Justice League.
Yeah. So yeah, I can create my own lie detector.
Yeah.
Machine that does stuff.
Or whatever, yeah. Because he is, I would say he's probably the closest among them. Mm. He's probably the closest to being actually allowed into the Justice League. He's just using everyone else as a means to an end.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's
because Deer Control isn't getting anywhere. Music Man is just a bloke.
Well, that's the thing. We do the whole Justice League thing of going to recruit these people. Yeah. So they've all got a scene. And the MacGuffin in this is really the wedding.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he goes to the deer controller who's out in the Alaskan wilderness.
Right.
Or the Canadian
yep.
sort of North Canada kind of thing. And
controlling deer to beat up some bears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, the deer controller's bored with life at this point. He's just got a deer, bear, fighting pig.
He's just warring them, yeah. Yeah.
Well, like, there's another guy who can control bears.
He saw one of the Narnia films where, like, just talking animals run at each other, so he was just like, you know what, we're doing this.
Well, no, he's working on the set of a Christmas movie where that happens.
Okay, yeah. Where deer and bears fight each other, of course, yeah. A Christmas movie.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael Bay.
Yeah.
And so we got a Michael Bay cameo in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, "I don't do superheroes no more. All I do is movie sets." Like, that's the thing. I'm doing wedding planning.
Yeah, I'm doing wedding planning, not superheroes.
Yeah.
You're the only... Please, Deer Controller.
They need 6,000...
Who's playing Deer Controller?
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Rowdy Roddy Piper, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
And he's like...
He says, the royals, they need 6,000 deer to come storming through the wedding at one point.
Yeah, okay. 6,000. 6,000 is such a brilliant, perfect number for storming through a wedding. Okay, so
there's some money in it for you.
Yeah, a stampede of deer is needed for this royal wedding.
Yeah,
and it pays better than Michael Bay.
Yeah, yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, there's a whole thing where it's like, oh yeah, and Michael Bay's. Sort of work practices aren't that great.
Yeah, I mean, and Rowdy Roddy Piper says, yeah, to be honest, I don't know how he speaks, so,
I'm
yeah,
sick of being ogled.
I'm sick of me and my deer being ogled by Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's that.
And then he goes on to, who's the next one? David Blaise, who he finds David on Blaise. The streets of New York.
Is he played by David Blaine?
Yeah.
Okay.
But instead of doing street magic where he's throwing cards through windows and stuff and stuff like that, he just turns things into fire.
Okay.
He's got a lighter.
Yeah.
But he does it like street magic.
Yeah. Just sets things on fire. Oh, he's basically an arsonist, but he films all of his crimes.
Mm.
Yeah.
And he films all of his crimes and there's just a lot of people going, "Oh my god!
I'm on fire! Oh my god, I'm on fire!"
Yeah, like... So, yeah, he goes, "Oh my god, Rolls have just contacted me. they need 20,000 candles.
They need all to go on at the same time. Yeah, yeah, just as 6,000 deer stampede through them so they all set on fire.
Yeah.
So if you can do that, brilliant.
Yeah. And he's like, what's in it for me? It's like, well, it'll get your TV exposure.
Yeah, then you can sit in a fucking box all you want.
You can sit in a box above the royal wedding.
Yeah.
Watching the whole thing and people will see you. And he's like, okay, I like
good enough for
there.
Me.
Yeah, okay. Then he goes to Rebel Wilson, hand wash.
Yeah, hand wash. Yeah, hand wash.
She's working at a laundrette.
Yeah, she's just clearly. Like, one. She doesn't have to like stack them anyway.
She's the comic relief.
Yeah, people are just handing her a pile of washing and she's like, there you are. And they're like, what?
Yeah, it'll be $1, please. Thank you. Be another dollar.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's all clean. That's what I do. Don't know why they kicked me out of the Justice League.
It's pretty useful.
Their costumes are really dirty. I've seen them on TV. just dirty costumes. I'm always clean. Look at me.
And it's because I keep charging them a dollar.
Yeah. And so,
once after Soil Lord attacked, that was the end of that budget.
Soil Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's her arch nemesis, by the way. I'm just going to put that little bit of world building in.
Okay. Fair. Yeah, no, that's a good bit. I really like this team we're putting together.
Yeah, it's good.
And so Will Smith goes in, and it's like, you know, one of the things where she's just sort of $1, and then like there's a thing where he puts his old costume down in front of her, and she looks up.
Oh, you know, God. Do not give this film that kind of cinematography.
Hitchcock. Hitchcock, what are you doing here? It's like putting a team together.
Well, I'm putting a team together.
Is that what he sounds like?
Yeah.
I'm putting a team together. Now, hand wash, I need your help. Because I need you to put a team. I'm putting a team together where we're all going to be wedding planners for the royals.
It sounds like Rigel from Farscape. You know that Jim Henson one?
Oh my God, I need a plaster for that deep cut. Yeah, he goes up and she's like, fine, I'll do it. And then the audience is laughing because it's Rebel Wilson.
Yeah.
And so, like, duh, duh, duh. Scene swipes to the next one.
Yeah.
And he's... And he's playing it on the keyboard, the music man. He's got J.K. Simmons over his head going, what are you doing? Faster, slower, I don't care.
And then Music Man turns to Hitchcock and goes, you know, this is all your fault. Well, who's this played by?
Oh, we didn't say, did we?
John Richardson.
Ryan Gosling.
Okay, Ryan Gosling. Okay, so he's like, you know, this is all your fault. I was in that van with you when you crashed it. I've had whiplash ever since. So he's
the team's together.
Yeah, that's it. Is that all of them?
Yeah, that's
good
all
grief
of them.
Okay, that's all of them. Well, no, he hasn't got Music Man on side yet, but he punches J.K. Simmons in the head.
No, J.K. Simmons hurls a symbol at him.
Yeah,
it hits him on the back of the neck. Whiplash cured.
It's cured.
It's cured. I'm in.
Okay, so
that's what Ryan Gosling says. Christ. In that tone.
Okay, so
putting together the royal wedding.
Yeah.
Where they need 6,000 deer to come.
So let's do a shop in this for this thing. 6,000 deer.
Yeah. 20,000.
20,000 candles that are going to set the deer on fire.
What did hand wash do?
Clean.
Clean dress.
Clean dress, clean tents. It's going to be in the middle of a muddy field and lots of deer are about to run past. So clean, please.
The princess needs to have a clean dress at all times.
So you're in charge of holding her train.
Yeah.
As it's going through the mud, and your constant clean powers will stop the mud from getting onto it.
Mm.
Okay.
Music man in charge of
music.
Yeah. And Hitchcock.
Well, just piano music though. In this at this point. Hitchcock. Although they've promised all kinds of world music.
Mm.
Oh, we forgot about lung capacity.
Oh, yeah, shit, I forgot about lung capacity.
We completely forgot about lung capacity.
We want someone in a vat of water.
We know we need someone. Music Man can't play the didgeridoo. It's one of his only.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so we need someone to play.
He recruits lung capacity and didgeridoo in the same scene because they're in the same orchestra.
You mean Music Man and lung capacity? Yeah.
Did I just
he
say
said
didgeridoo?
Lung capacity and didgeridoo. He has to recruit a character called Didgeridoo who's just a didgeridoo. Yeah. So there we are.
The didgeridoo talks, but it's not addressed.
So, here I am. It's
Shut up, didgeridoo.
It's Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk
voicing the didgeridoo.
Of course it is.
Here I am. Wow, 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 wow.
Why
are you? Right. We're being very silly.
Yeah.
So all those have been recruited. Good. Now what?
Now the rom-com happens.
Well, it's hand wash and it was Sophie Ellis-Bextor and Hitchcock, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And Washer the Didgeridoo have a subplot.
God, I hate this film. So they get along all right, just fine, and they're planning this wedding. But every single time Hitchcock hears Sophie Ellis-Bextor saying the practice vows, you know, I do, and all that stuff, he's like, I can't get it out of my head. Like, he's going a bit crazy because he's just like, she's clearly lying. She's clearly lying. So he takes her off to one side and he's like, you know you don't love this guy. I was like, you know you don't love this guy.
Mm. And they have like a real, real intimate argument on the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. We need to work out how Sophie Ellis-Bextor falls in love with Will Smith's character again.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've got it. So they're having a little talk in the side of the church sort of thing while, you know, they're supposed to be whatever. Hugh Grant sees them going off and he starts getting jealous, right? Because at the time it's just like, you know, you don't love this guy. I can tell because I know always know when you're lying. She hates that.
Mm.
We've established that she always hates when he knows she's lying because she lies all the time.
Mm.
Fucking loves lying. It's her favourite thing in the world.
Mm.
It's how she got to be the royal wedding one. So Hugh Grant is the actual royal of the two.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm getting very jealous. Oh, I'm so very jealous. I'm a prince or whatever. Mm. And he says that's the actual line. I'm a prince or whatever. And he starts going like, well, if this wedding goes off just fine, then she'll love him. And because he uncovers their past together.
Mm.
And he's like, I've got to show him up. I've got to make sure this wedding goes off without a Hitchcock. So he contracts the soil lord.
Oh, my God.
To come in like a low budget super villain to come and try and
disrupt the wedding. Oh my god.
So that Hitchcock gets blamed.
So, oh my god, so we've actually got like a superhero showdown this wedding instead of shenanigans going off during the wedding. So what have they got, right? This, they're doing their vows and stuff and it's like, does anyone have anything to say about this communion? Speak now, forever hold your peace, or whatever.
And
vicar played by Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah, yeah.
Clearly. Soil Lord played by Danny DeVito.
Okay, that totally works.
It comes out of the ground. He's like a giant mud man.
Yeah, because they're not in like a church. They're in front of a church because it's like an outdoor wedding.
Mm. Oh, we've established that already. Yeah,
we've
said that.
So he's like, he's sort of
English countryside, always muddy.
Yeah.
Where the soil man thrives.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got all that mud to play with.
Yeah.
He's like, ah, here I am.
I've got something to say about this. And then Hitchcock, like, who's sat in the thing waiting for something to kick off or something to go on. Like, he's waiting for these deer to come in and sort of everything to go off without Hitchcock. And he turns around, sees Rebel Wilson's character go, "Oh shit! It's you, you!
It's the bloody Soil Lord!
It's the bloody Soil Lord!"
Because she's there. She's in the wedding. She's holding the train.
Yeah, and Hugh Grant's like, "Call the Justice League!" And Hitchcock's like, "There's no time for that, sir."
Yeah, call the Justice League! Get us some proper superheroes!
"No time for that. We'll have to come together to be our own superhero group."
And then Hugh Grant's like, "Get out of here, Soil Lord! You're not supposed to be at this wedding!" At which point Hitchcock knows he's lying.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, no, so he's like... Hugh Grant set me up, the bastard. A plot thing happened.
A plot happened.
He looks at the camera and says that.
Yeah.
Out of Hitchcock voice.
Yeah.
A plot thing happened.
I bet you were waiting for that rather than just superhero setup.
And so we've got, right, what have we got to kill Soil Lord? Because Soil Lord is everywhere.
We've got hand wash.
We've got hand wash. Good. Yeah. Hand wash is good. We've also got 6,000 deer being controlled by
Rainbow. Seems like an unfair fight.
We've got a didgeridoo who can talk. We've
got a box in the sky with David Blaze.
Oh, yeah, David Blaze. We've got a pianist.
I feel like maybe he brings more friends. He brings the Rain Boy, who is David Blaze's archenemy. He brings Silence, which is the Music Man and Didgeridoo's archenemy, and Lung Capacity.
And Lung Capacity, yeah.
I don't know why Lung Capacity.
The who's Lung Capacity played by? We never said.
I can't remember what we said. I think it should probably be
Michael Cera.
Maybe. Let's go with Michael Cera. Oh no, Brian Blessed.
Brian Blessed, Lung Capacity. Yeah. Well, I think his nemesis should be the Bends.
The Bends.
Yeah.
Okay. The Bends. Cool. So a stream of little bubbles.
Yeah.
And then who else has he brought with him?
Who's the nemesis of deer controller?
Bear controller. Yeah. Bear controller. And then you've also got, of course, Hitchcock's
bears,
the natural enemy of deer. Yeah. So you got Hitchcock's arch nemesis, who's
Jim Carrey. Liar.
The liar.
Yeah, the liar.
Okay, so Jim Carrey's like, "Oh, I'm so glad to be here." He says,
"Yeah, he's like, you're lying. Oh shit!" And his head starts to go like vibrate because he's lying about everything.
Yeah,
he's like, "Oh no, I can't take the lies.
I don't hate everyone."
And that's when Rebel Wilson comes in and touches him on his head. It's like, "You've got a clean mind now.
You've got a clean conscience.
You've got a clean mind and a clean clean brain." Here's a knife. Go stab the liar.
Stab the liar. At which point the Soil Lord erupts over the thing, and she's like, "No, I'm not clean anymore. My powers are gone."
My powers are fading.
David Blaze like makes fire appear, which dries the Soil Lord out, so he can't move. But then Rain Man, it's a big superhero fight, essentially. Yeah. And then the wedding is ruined.
Until the 6,000 deer come charging through to fight the 6,000 bears.
I think this, the key is that the 6,000 deers are on fire because of the candles and the bears aren't.
Yeah, because 6,000 deer versus 6,000 bear, I think the bears might win.
Probably win, but on fire deers, the bears don't stand a chance.
The bears might win, finally. Yeah. Am I right, Chicago people?
Jesus Christ. As they start to win, Hugh Grant's like, "No, this isn't supposed to happen. Mm. I hired you to beat these guys." And then Sophie Ellis Bextor turns to Hugh Grant and says, "You what?"
Yeah.
And then kicks him down the stairs.
Yeah, into the Soil Lord's.
And then she goes to prison. She goes to prison for trying to kill a member of the royal family.
But that's where Hitchcock meets her.
Yeah.
Like, you'll always be my wife.
What?
They got married after that. They got married. They had a prison wedding.
Right, there we go. Because they all went to prison.
They all went to prison.
For setting hundreds of animals on fire. And trying to kill a member of the royal family.
There we go. Done. Okay. The Arrangers.
The Arrangers. Thanks, Ofo.
Yeah.
That was a good suggestion. Ruined by us. Well, you know, if you want to see it, let us know. Mm. Just leave us a big like. Just send us over the word the words big like, and we'll know you liked it.
Yeah, I really liked it. Big like. Yeah.
Big like. So anyway.
So until your wedding is ruined by 6,000 flaming deer fighting 6,000 non-flaming bears. I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Matt Turner.
Remember who pitched it.
Bye.